Hello, everyone, and welcome back to 333, The Equilibrium. Here on another Factual Friday, my absolute favorite day of the podcast, not just because it's the end of the week, but also because I get to talk to you guys about whatever you would like. And in this past week, I've been taking your requests as to what you want to hear every episode, and this Friday is another request specifically on self-destructive behaviors. I know this is definitely one we don't want to hear, but we need to hear it. So to the person that requested this episode, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is something I've been waiting to talk about. So subconsciously, we've picked up on a lot of tendencies that we turn to when we feel the need to be protected, and there's nothing wrong with that. Our bodies have developed its own way of protecting us, so we know that it's doing its job, right? But that's not to say it's doing its job in a healthy way. It's like working with someone who has an amazing work ethic. You know, they're always ready to go, never calls in sick, but every time they come into work, they do a half-assed job. Like, yes, you get the job done, but, you know, shortcuts aren't always the best way to do things. And self-destructive habits can vary in a lot of different forms. It can be in binge eating, compulsive activities like gambling, gaming, or shopping, guilty, and impulsive sexual behavior, the overuse of drugs, and even self-injury. But even if you feel like your self-destructive behavior isn't to that extent, it can even be seen in smaller ways that can be second nature, like being self-derogatory, changing yourself to please others, clinging to relationships where the other person is not interested in you or the relationship isn't good for you, and maladaptive behaviors like pushing people away, procrastinating, social isolation, and being passive-aggressive. Now, these behaviors can stem from mental disorders like anxiety, depression, PTSD, and so much more. And I think everyone suffers from self-destructive behaviors, whether they're debilitating or not. And it's not to say that if you suffer from them, you can't retrain yourself. Negative thoughts can always be replaced with a neutral or a positive thought, but it always takes practice. Now, as smart and as driven as we are, our brains are really lazy. So when I say practice is necessary, I mean it. And it doesn't want to learn a new method to solving problems, honestly. It's like that saying where you can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? Which is why we have to create a new engraving to this healthy neural pathway. Now, in the next few minutes, I'm going to be sharing how we can briefly transform these self-destructive behaviors into new healthy coping mechanisms. So number one on how we can transform our self-destructive behaviors is by 1, breaking the cycle. Now it's engraved in our brain to take a certain route in situations where we need protecting. So instead of always taking the same route, try to do something different. An experience I shared in an earlier episode was that I always would be so anxious about the relationship between me and my best friends or my closest ties were. I always wanted to make sure we were on good terms and felt the need to ask very often. And if I didn't hear from someone for a few days, I'd ask if everything was okay. Now, we all obviously have our own lives, and sometimes sending a text back or finding the time to have an extended conversation may not be in our favor with our schedules or even our priorities. Some people are really bad at remembering to call you back, and some people want to text you, but they don't want to have a broken conversation with you, and honestly, the list goes on. Point is, sometimes we wouldn't be able to get back to each other with how busy life was, and the silent periods always made me really anxious. Now, in nursing school, I took a lifespan development class that was required, and I learned a lot about the theories of childhood development. And as I got into psychology, I really did my own research on babies and how any experience shapes them to be their attachment style, the person they are now, and how they react to certain situations. And I grew up in a house where my parents really played the silent treatment on us. Like, they wouldn't tell you what happened, what you did wrong. They would just not talk to you. And it was always up to you to figure out what happened. And that trauma played a huge role in how I respond to silence in my relationships. And it always makes me feel like something is wrong. I've slowly learned how to retrain myself with the help of my therapist, who suggested that, you know, rather than asking if everything is okay, just don't ask, which was crazy to me. But, you know, the concept is simple. It's just so difficult when it's second nature to be anxious. And that applies with any cycle you have going on in your life. You know, it's second nature to you, but the effort is to do it differently and to change that neural pathway. So if you have a bad habit of lying, tell the truth this time. Or if you have a bad habit of pushing people away when life gets hard, open up about it or simply admit that you're going through some things, right? So that is just the first step in trying to reframe all of these bad habits or all of these self-destructive tendencies. So number two on our list is to shut down the negative talk. Now, it's really easy to talk down on yourself when you feel like you did something wrong or you could have been better. But instead of calling yourself a failure or stupid and worth nothing, I want you to forgive yourself first. You're human, and a part of that is learning. A part of that whole experience is growth. And you can even rephrase your statement to be separate from who you are. Instead of saying, I am weak or I am depressed, you can say, I feel weak right now, or I feel depressed in this moment. And this changes our perspective and helps our brains remember that these times are temporary and these feelings are separate from who we are. You know, when I felt like I made a stupid decision or I made the wrong decision, I would be like, you know what? That I felt like was the wrong decision, but we can learn from that, and that's okay. We move on. So I think it's really important to kind of change your mindset and your perspective about all the negativity that you feel you're experiencing, because it really reframes and puts your whole life in a new light. Now, number three is get support. I always put emphasis on this because the support I've had on my journey has been tremendous. My family, my friends, my psychotherapist, they've helped me to see things from a new perspective and create healthier pathways. The journey is lifelong, and I certainly believe that without self-motivation, it can really be difficult. And the eyes I have around me have really changed how I see myself and my life, you know, what I'm capable of and how amazing I am. We're so fortunate to have help from professionals, and now that mental health is less and less stigmatized, it makes it a bit more comfortable to seek help and know where we can access those resources. Now, number four is use your mistakes to help you learn. It's likely impossible that you're going to change all of your self-destructive behaviors overnight, but you can keep your patterns in mind so that when the same situation comes around, you can consciously think about your next move. I think we can all agree that after, you know, feeling like you've made a mistake or the wrong decision, it can really help you to remember what you don't want to do for the next time. So try to remember why it is that you're making the changes in your behavior, but don't be so hard on yourself at the same time. So as the saying always goes, you live and you learn. So forgive yourself and move on. Now, number five on our final step is to be prepared. As I always say, it's important to practice these concepts. And reason being is that your brain is always going to go to its naturally engraved pathway first. So identify your triggers by journaling and reflecting on your mood shifts. By doing this, we can identify our triggers earlier and know how to keep our emotions and behaviors under control before they start to control us. So stay mindful on your thoughts, attitude, and feelings, and try your new coping strategy. If it fails, you can learn from it and see what you'd like to do differently. And if it works, keep going with your head held high. Self-destructive behavior is treated with behavioral or talk therapy to help you identify and avoid your triggers or learn to manage challenges in healthier ways. And it takes a lot of reflection and self-awareness to understand your patterns. But the important thing is that you took this step today, right here in this podcast episode, and maintained an open mind. You're already one step closer, and I'm so proud of you. I love you guys, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Factual Friday. If you have any comments, please feel free to reach out on Instagram or leave me a voice message on Anchor. Don't forget to participate in this week's poll if you're on Spotify and leave a rating or review if you have the time, because it really helps me to improve the podcast and grow in my experience and practice. Thank you for tuning in, and as always, I'll talk to you soon. Bye, guys.